نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك إن كنتن تردن الحياة الدنيا وزينتها فتعالين أمتعكن وأسرحكن سراحا جميلا. O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to your wife, if you desire the life of this world and its adornment, then come, I will make a provision for you and set you free in a beautiful manner. But if you desire Allah and His Messenger and the home of the hereafter, then indeed Allah has prepared for those amongst you who do ihsan an awesome reward. What does this refer to? We find on one occasion the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his wives, and when Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar entered, he told them that these wives of mine are asking me for nafqa, they're asking me for money, and all his money was being spent on jihad. Not that he was spending it on himself. We find that all the Muslim wars that were taking place, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the first to give. So what happened then? This ayat was revealed, that give your wives a choice, that if they want to stay with you, and if they want to choose the hereafter over the world, because if they stay with you, they will lead lives of poverty, and they will lead lives of hardship and deprivation. But if they're more interested in, you know, the world and its glitter, then they have this choice available to them. So this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's tolerance. He didn't force anyone. So what happened? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Hazrat Aisha and said to her, I'm going to mention to you something, but don't hasten to give your answer unless you consult your parents. That's how tender he was. He didn't say, no, you have to tell me right now. He said, no, think about it. This is the choice that I'm giving you. And then he recited this ayat. And when Hazrat Aisha heard that, her response was instantly, I don't need to consult my parents. Indeed, I desire Allah and His Messenger and the home of the hereafter. And all the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had four wives at that time, all of them responded thus. Now let's think about it. Sometimes we're in an option where we know our husband is maybe earning something haram. Maybe he's doing something, earning some money which is not lawful Islamically. What do? Turn a blind eye to what's going on? That it's more convenient for us to just ignore the situation? Or do we give the hereafter preference over the world? Every ayat in the Quran contains a deep meaning behind it. The purpose of relating these verses is also a message for the women of the Muslim Ummah that give the hereafter preference over this world. Allah has prepared for those who do ihsan amongst you an awesome reward. What is ihsan? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined it, أَنْتَ عَبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. When you worship Allah as if you can see Him. Now if you think about it, just as a servant, you know, imagine a sweeper, he's cleaning the room and he knows that his employer is standing there watching him. He'll make sure he doesn't leave any corners. Imagine if we could see Allah, Allah who is Nurus Samawati wal Ard. Think of the ecstasy, of the joy we'd feel in every ibadah, knowing that Rabbul Alameen, knowing that Malikul Muluk is actually watching us. So Allah says, Allah has prepared for those who do ihsan amongst you an awesome reward. O wives of the Prophet, whichever of you commits an open indecency, the torment for her will be doubled, and that is ever easy for Allah. Now this is not na'uzu billah that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were about to commit any indecency. Simply the message is that when the privileges are greater, then the accountability is also greater. If we have been granted more wealth, for instance, or more blessings, then our hisab will be tougher as well. وَمَنْ يَقْنُطْ مِنْكُنَّ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا نُؤْتِهَا أَجْرَهَا مَرَّتَيْنِ وَأَعْتَدْنَا لَهَا رِزْقًا كَرِيمًا. Whoever amongst you obeys Allah and His Messenger. Throughout the Quran we learn the key word is obeying Allah. Not just believing in Allah or praying to Allah or reading salat or giving zakat. They are just the means to the end. What is the goal? Taqwa. How do we attain that consciousness of Allah? Through obedience. So Allah says, whoever of you is obedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and does good deeds, Now, if the Sahabiyat are being told just that they were to relax and say, well, we're the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we don't need to do any good deeds for ourselves. Look, there are three things mentioned here. Obeying Allah, obeying the Messenger, and doing good deeds. We shall give her reward twice over, and we have prepared for her a noble provision, a beautiful risk. The wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sacrificed their wealth for Allah's sake. They put up with hardships for Allah's sake, so Allah says in the hereafter, a beautiful provision awaits you. Look at Hazrat Khadija, for instance. We find she was a wealthy businesswoman when she married the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What happened when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received his first revelation? She spent so generously on Allah's deen that she was no longer a wealthy businesswoman. So Allah says a noble provision lies in store for her. When Hazrat Khadija died and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about her, he said, I saw her in a house made of pearls by a stream wherein is neither fatigue nor noise. Rizqan Karima. Ya Nisa An-Nabi, lastunnaka ahadim minan Nisa. O wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not like any other women. Their degree is far exalted above the status of ordinary Muslim women. What are they called? Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers. And we look at their characters and we find each one of them possessed amazing qualities. You are not like any other women. If you keep your duty to Allah, then do not be soft in speech, lest he in whose heart is a disease should be moved with desire. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, but speak in an honorable manner. Now the address is to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we as women of the Muslim Ummah too are being addressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to them and to us that do not be soft in speech towards men. Now that means that you can't speak to men, but we should not speak in such a way as to encourage them or to incite them or to seduce them or to entice them. And every woman can understand this for herself. Lest he in whose heart is a disease should be moved with desire. So in other words, the responsibility is on both the man and the woman. It doesn't rest simply on the woman that she should not speak in that way, and it doesn't rest simply on the man. Like women say, well, we should be allowed to do what we like and it's the men's duty to look away. No, it's a double-edged sword, so to speak. It's a two-way deal. We also have to keep within the limits. So Allah says, do not be soft in speech. In other words, don't speak in a way that might entice the man or tempt him or make him, you know, form a false impression about you and your intentions. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, and stay in your houses. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى, do not display yourself like the display of the days of ignorance. وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةِ, and establish salah. وَآتِينَا الزَّكَاةِ, and give zakah. وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and obey Allah and His Messenger. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْحِيرًا. Indeed, Allah wishes to remove evil from you, O members of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to purify you thoroughly. Now, this verse is a very important one to understand. قَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, stay in your houses. What does that mean? That we are confined to our houses, we are prisoners of the house? No. We find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَذِنَ اللَّهُ لَكُنَّ أَن تَخْرُجْنَ لِحَوَائِجِكُنَّ, Allah has allowed you to go out of your house for your needs. In other words, a woman is not a prisoner in the house. What then is meant by this ayat, stay in your houses? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that a woman's true responsibility, a woman's true sphere is within her home. Although she is allowed to go outside for her needs. Now we find that what's happened is that different cultures have interpreted it differently. In some countries we find Muslim women being discouraged and actually forbidden from going to the mosque. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not forbid Allah's maidservants from going to the mosque. In other words, this was a right given to us by Allah that we can pray in the mosque if we wish to. What then is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us in this ayat? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that if you wish to go out for your needs, you can do so. But don't forget that a woman's true role is in making an Islamic home. creating an Islamic environment, raising children in an Islamic way. See, Muslim women are the builders of the universe. We are responsible for the future Muslim Ummah. It's not a role that we can take lightly or dismiss contemptuously. Like nowadays, if you ask someone, what do you do? And she says, I'm raising my children. And they'll think that she's really backward, that she's not doing anything. قَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ Stay in your houses. I'd like to quote Amina Silmi because she once said something very pertinent about this verse. She was speaking about the women's liberation movement in the West. She says, I was an ardent feminist. I was one of the women who used to march in procession and, you know, literally burn their underclothing. She was one of those women. And she says, what happened in the women's liberation movement in the West was that we confused equality with sameness. We thought that if you want to be on an equal level with a man, you have to be the same as a man. So you have to dress like him, you have to speak like him, you have to act like him, act rude, act aggressive, act tough, and you have to do whatever he is doing. Now what happened was, she says, so we forced the women out of their houses, saying, no, this is oppression, don't stay in your house, get out of the house, work, get a career, get a job, do something for yourself, don't just waste your life away. And what happened? She says, so the women were driven out of their homes. And for a woman to be just staying at home and raising her children was something to be ashamed of. And it became a cultural thing that you had to work. You know, like they say, the woman of the 90s who's juggling so many responsibilities. What happened? Amina Silmi says, so we gained liberation as we thought of it, but we lost our children. And that's a very heavy price to pay. If we look at the state of the children in the West, now I'm not just talking anti-West, if you just truly think about it, their children, drug addicts, their children with teenage pregnancies, 6 stories of, you know, 11-year-olds killing little babies, 12-year-olds marching into a school and planting a bomb there, they lost their children. Now we women are very fascinated by the glamour of the women's liberation movement. We need to remember, Allah has not placed this burden upon us, that we have to be a superwoman who's raising her children, has a career, has an amazing job. We don't have to do all that. Allah's relieved us from this burden. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ وَيُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ Allah wishes to lighten the burden from you. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا Because man has been created weak. What's happening now in our society too is that we have this cultural pressure. If I'm not working, I'm a loser. If I'm not working, I'm not with it. Allah says, قَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ Relax. Nobody can force you to be something you're not. Nobody has the right to force you to neglect your children just so you can have a sophisticated job, so you can boast about it. قَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ Stay in your houses. This is not oppression. This is Allah teaching us our true sphere, our true talents, our true niche. And at the same time we find that if a woman wishes to work, then what happens? She is allowed to do so provided she's fulfilling the home's responsibilities. She's fulfilling her children's rights. She's not left them to the care of babysitters who, you know, might be abusing the children. And she needs to have the husband's permission to do this because marriage is a partnership. It's not a battle of the sexes in Islam. And she should have the competence to do this. Sometimes you see women, they don't have the competence to teach, for instance. But why are they teaching? So they can tell people, oh, I'm a teacher. She should have the competence. And within the boundaries set by Allah, and the boundaries of dress, the boundaries of behavior set by Allah. See how much Allah loves us women? Allah saying, don't let people exploit you. It's very easy for the man. Now he's got an extra partner, a partner who can earn money. She's going to be raising the children. At the end of the day, it's always the mother who raises the children. The child cries, the father doesn't get up, the mother gets up. So how convenient. He's got an extra earning partner. He's got a wife who has to doll herself up for his sake. He's got a wife who's earning money. She's raising the children. She's cooking. And at the end of the day, it's the poor woman with a nervous breakdown. قَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ Allah says women need time out. Women have a very special role to fulfill. What did Allah say in Surah Ali Imran? Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam's mother said that, my goodness, I've had a daughter. And she thought, what good can this daughter do for Allah? And Allah says, لَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى The male is not like the female. That's what we've done. We've confused equality with sameness. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us? النساء شقائق الرجال. Women are the counterparts of men. They're not their duplicates. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, you need time out, you need privacy to nurture that maternal tenderness within you, so you can give your best to your child. What happens when a woman is working? Now, I'm not talking about women who are forced to work by circumstance. You know, there are women, they need a career. But women who are just working for the heck of it, just to kill time. They spend their time in their work, they give their best, and when they reach home, they're exhausted. So the child comes up to the mother, and the mother says, get away from me. Allah says, قَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. Stay in your homes. Don't feel pressurized. Don't try and be something that you cannot achieve. And if you can, then of course it's allowed. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. See the sequence of words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting us from exploitation in all forms. One form of exploitation is nowadays, you know, like you see in the matrimonial ads, they always want a doctor. She should be tall and fair and she should be a doctor. Why do they want a doctor? Because she'll earn money for them. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Do not display yourselves, the adornment of the days of ignorance. Now what does this mean? We find that this word burj means to openly display. Barija is something prominent. In other words, a woman is supposed to cover her prominent features, her prominent physical features, and wear loose clothes. And we read a detailed interpretation of this ayat later on. Now the key word here is تبرج الجاهلية الأولى. Don't dress yourselves up as a pretty little doll the way that the women of the days of ignorance used to do. We pride ourselves on our enlightenment. Woman is truly liberated now. Woman is not exploited anymore. Can anyone tell me what the women of the days of ignorance were treated like? They were treated like slaves. They were treated like sexual objects. That's all that the woman is good for. The satisfying or the gratification of a man's lust. Now the funny thing is that we women are openly declaring our right to be treated as sexual dolls. We're saying, no, we have the right to go out so men can gape at us and satisfy their sick fantasies with us. Allah says, this is ignorance. What's wrong, people? Wake up. These are the thoughts of the days of ignorance, that's all a woman is good for. That's not what a woman's role is in Islam. Don't let yourself be sexually exploited. And women say, oh, our hearts are pure and we don't dress up so the men can see us. Well, we might not dress up so the men can see us, but the men will certainly be seeing us if we dressed up. تبرج الجاهلية الأولى. Allah says, you call this sophistication? You call this progressive thinking? Look what Allah's calling it. The ignorance of the days of old, not even something modern about it. The ignorance of the days of old, this is what people have been doing since the world began. What then should our focus be, after reminding us that our focus is on raising our children, raising human beings with the Adamic nature? أَقِمْنَا الصَّلَىٰ. Establish salah. وَآتِينَ الزَّكَىٰ. And give zakah. وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَىٰ. Now, as some people claim that Islam is this oppressive religion with all the rights for the men, Allah would have said, and obey your husbands at this point. But Allah says, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. We learn elsewhere that we are supposed to obey our husbands, but within the boundaries set by Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah wishes only to remove evil from you, O members of the family, and to purify you thoroughly. This hijab, which we perceive as oppression, Allah says it's a means of purifying yourself. It's a means of giving you self-respect. وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And remember, now the address is still to women, remember that which is recited in your houses of the verses of Allah and wisdom. And wisdom means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. Indeed, Allah is subtle, well acquainted. Now we find that Allah is telling us women to get a grip on ourselves, to wake up to our true identity. What is identity? We're not pretty little dolls. And nor are we women who are going to be exploited financially. What are we supposed to be? We have within us the potential of raising an ummah. Allah says, don't just spend your life away in the home, just cooking and sewing and cleaning and decorating. That's not the woman's role. What potential does a woman have? Remember that which is recited in your houses of the verses of Allah and the Sunnah. Often we hear the complaint, it's so difficult for me to leave the house in the morning. Well, fine, but we need to be sure that we're not just frittering our lives away. Even by staying in our houses, that's not what it's all about. There's a deeper meaning to life. Look, Islam hasn't just come for the men. We will be responsible as well. Remember that which is recited in your house of the Quran and the Sunnah. Look at the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. They're supposed to be our role models, aren't they? Amazing women. Look at Hazrat Aisha, one of the greatest scholars that Islam has ever produced. And I'm talking about from both men and women. Not that she was the greatest woman scholar, but she was one of the greatest scholars that Islam has ever produced. This is the potential of a woman. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا. Allah is subtle. He knows the ways that people will try and manipulate us poor women. خَبِيرًا. He is truly acquainted with our circumstances. إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات. Indeed, those men and women who submit. Women say, oh, Islam has oppressed us women. True equality here. Allah is saying, indeed, those Muslim men and women. And those men and women who believe, and those men and women who are obedient, and those men and women who are patient, who are constant, and those men and women who are humble, and those men and women who give sadaqah, and those men and women who fast, and those men and women who protect their private parts. وَذَكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذَكِرَاتٍ. And those men and women who remember Allah much. Now let's look at these qualities that Allah has described here. The first stage, Islam, the level of submission. We're all Muslims. We've all been born Muslims. Is that where it ends? That I said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, end of story? No. Keep striving till you become mu'minat, believers. Develop your iman. Then, qanitat. Now qanitat is a beautiful word. It means constant humility. Constant obedience, this inner sensitivity to Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best prayer excels in qunut. Not just that we're fulfilling the rituals without a thought to the spirit behind it. Wal qanitat. Think about why you are doing all this. Was sadiqina was sadiqat. Those who speak the truth in all aspects of their lives. See how Allah grants us women honor. Generally, in some religions, we find there's this image of, you know, Eve, the temptress, and the woman who's deceitful and lying. Allah says, Al-Qanitat was-Sadiqat. The women who are truthful. We can achieve this level if we try. Was-Sabirat. And those who do sabr. Not just that they're obeying Allah some of the time. And like some women say that, you know, if they go through problems, oh, I'm not going to do hijab anymore. Allah didn't reward me enough. Allah says, As-sabirat, in all times, good or bad, obeying Allah. Al-khashi'at, again Allah repeats, not just the rituals, not just the hijab, and you thinking whatever you like. Khashi'at, inner humility, inner sensitivity to Allah. Wal-mutasaddiqat, they spend of their wealth. What do we spend on? Oh, it's so tough, you know, to take money out for sadqah. And I don't have enough money for zakat because the children's expenses and their school fees. Allah says, no. Rise above petty expenses. Al-mutasaddiqat. Spend for Allah's sake. Spend for your own hereafter. And then, wasa'imat. Those who fast. And then those who protect their private parts. Those who protect their chastity. It's not just the ritual, it's the spirit behind it. See how Allah is telling us women, oh women, don't underrate yourselves. Don't just waste your lives in cooking and sewing and going to coffee mornings. Rise above all that. وَذَكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذَكِرَاتٍ. Those men and women who remember Allah much. Now sometimes we women get so confined by the outward. You know, we have so much to do, the children to, you know, take care of, and the food to see to, and the house to clean, that we forget to attend to our spiritual nourishment. Allah says, وَالذَّكِرَاتِ. Remember Allah much. Now you might say, but these are all aspects of remembering Allah. Yes. But don't just confine zikr, don't just confine remembrance of Allah to your salat and to, you know, obeying Allah and being truthful. Do special zikr of Allah. Get as close as you can to Allah. Don't be content with the minimum level. Go for the best. Allah says, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah has prepared for such people forgiveness and an awesome reward. That if there are still some shortcomings, there are still some mistakes, Allah will forgive them. وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And an awesome reward, amazing reward, such as no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no tongue has ever uttered, and no person has ever imagined. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنًا. It is not for a believer, man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, that they should have any option in their decision. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. He has indeed strayed into a plain error. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us something, that once we hear that law of Allah's, once we hear that ruling, it's not for us to say, well, you know, I'm not ready for it, and let me think about it, and maybe a few years later. No, once you hear, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. وَإِذْ تَقُولُ لِلَّذِي. And remember, when you said to him, upon whom Allah had bestowed grace, and you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do have done favor to him, keep your wife to yourself and fear Allah. But you did hide in yourself that which Allah will make manifest, that you did fear the people, whereas Allah had a better right that you should fear him. So when Zayd had accomplished his desire from her, that is, he had divorced her, we gave her to you in marriage, so that in future there may be no difficulty to the believers in respect of the marriage of the wives of their adopted sons, when the latter have no desire to keep them. And Allah's command must be fulfilled. Now this refers to an important incident that took place. The Prophet ﷺ had this slave by the name of Hazrat Zayd. And Hazrat Khadija had actually given him to the Prophet ﷺ when she married him. Now the Prophet ﷺ adopted Hazrat Zayd. And most beautifully we find that later on, when Hazrat Zayd's family managed to trace him because he'd been kidnapped and sold into slavery, they asked him and they said, well, we want you to come back with us. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the choice is yours, Zayd. You want to return with your family? Fine. But if you want to stay with me, I will welcome you. And Hazrat Zayd chose the Prophet ﷺ's company over his own true family. Whereupon the Prophet ﷺ freed him and declared that he is from now on my son. And then the Prophet ﷺ married Hazrat Zayd to his own cousin Hazrat Zainab, who was one of the most beautiful women in the tribe at that time. Now what happened was, Hazrat Zayd and Hazrat Zainab's marriage was not a success due to some incompatibility or whatever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished for this ritual that the Arabs had invented. The Arabs had invented this senseless ritual that if your adopted son divorces his wife, you cannot marry her, and that's something that's really disgusting. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to negate the senseless ritual. So Allah commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when Hazrat Zayd has divorced Hazrat Zainab, then you have to marry Hazrat Zainab. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dreading this because he knew the sort of comments that people would pass. So he kept on telling Hazrat Zayd, well, you know, keep her and don't divorce her. Now we find this also negates the theory that some people have invented that the Prophet ﷺ, you know, saw Hazrat Zainab once and he desired her, na'uzubillah, and he wanted to marry her, and that's why Allah made it easy for him. This is totally incorrect. If that were the case, why is the Prophet ﷺ telling Hazrat Zainab that keep your wife to yourself and fear Allah? Here Allah says, you hid in yourself that which Allah will make obvious. What was this that the Prophet ﷺ was hiding? Fear of what people would say, because he was also a human being. So when Zayd had accomplished his desire from her, in other words, when Hazrat Zayd had divorced her, we gave her to you in marriage, so that from this day onwards, believers, if they wish to marry the divorced wives of their adopted sons, they would not feel any harm in doing so. وَكَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ مَفْعُولًا. And the command of Allah must be fulfilled. Now what do we learn from this ayat? Sometimes we find in our society cultural taboos, taboos that have nothing to do with Islam, restrictions that have no origin, either in the Quran or in the Sunnah, but it's just what will people say? Oh no, that's not something that people would admire, people would talk about you then. Allah says, La ilaha illallah means you take your deen from Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from no one else. There is no blame on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that which Allah has made legal for him. That has been Allah's way with those who have passed away of old. And the command of Allah is a decree determined. Those who convey the message of Allah and fear Him and fear none save Allah. Twice Allah repeats. It's not enough just to fear Allah. We all fear Allah. We have to fear none but Allah. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا And sufficient is Allah as a reckoner.